The past five Sundays, our second reading is taken from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is full of very bizarre images and symbols and can be kind of difficult to understand. In fact, Martin Luther, who was one of the fathers of the Protestant Reformation, thought the book of Revelation was so bizarre, he wanted to exclude it from the Bible. But if we really get into the book of Revelation and understand those images and symbols and really try to ingest what these revelations are, we see that we get another experience with Christ. So I'd like to address these revelations that Christ gives us, Christ who's reigning in glory to us today to live out our lives. When we go back and start at the beginning, we start with the Old Testament. The Old Testament lays out the foundation for us to have an encounter with God incarnate. It's kind of a difficult concept, so God prepares this for us by giving us one thing in particular called typologies. Typologies are Christian beliefs that are prefigured or symbolized by people and events in the Old Testament. So I'll give you one example. When the Israelites are walking across the desert, they start complaining. So seraph serpents show up and start biting people. So they start complaining now that they're getting bitten by snakes. So God tells Moses, take a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and anyone who looks at this pole won't die. Well, that prefigures Christ. Christ will be lifted up on a pole, on a cross. And all who look upon him with eyes of faith will be saved from eternal death, will be given eternal life. So the Old Testament helps to prepare the way of the Lord so that we can have this wonderful encounter with Christ when he comes into the world. Next, obviously, we turn to the four Gospels, and this is where we have that face-to-face encounter with our God. The Gospels detail to us the 3 years of Christ's public ministry, gives us his teaching, his miracles, and a wonderful example of how to live out our lives. Then after that, we go to the Acts of the Apostles, which was our first reading for the last 5 weeks. In addition to the Acts of the Apostles, we have the letters of Paul, James, Paul, John, Jude, Jerome, which detail... Just making sure you're listening. Well, these letters detail the early church, right? So let us see, how did the early church take this faith in? How did they live it? And how does it start to spread throughout the world? That brings us to the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. Now, it might be tempting to think, well, this book really talks about the end time, so I don't know how it affects my life today. But it is true, it talks an awful lot about the end times, the end of the world, the second coming. It most definitely does that. But when we look at all the revelations that are given to us, we see just how relevant that book is to our lives today. So I'd like to pull three teachings that we can get from the revelations given in the book of Revelation. The first teaching comes from chapters 2 and 3. In chapters 2 and 3, Jesus tells St. John to write letters to the seven churches. And when you read these letters, you come to see that Christ had intimate knowledge as to what was going on. Because he talks about the strengths and weaknesses. He offers words of encouragement and chastisement when needed. So the letter reminds us that God has intimate knowledge of everything that's going on in the church, which obviously means us as well. And this is an important teaching because people will say to me, Father, I can't see God or I can't feel God at work in my life. Well, if that's where you are or you want to go deeper in your relationship with God, let me offer a couple suggestions. The first one is to take 5 minutes each day. I know, more time, 5 minutes, not that long. Take 5 minutes each day and shut everything off. Turn off your phone, turn off your TV, turn off your radio, tell your spouse to be quiet, tell your kids to be quiet, put your dog outside, and just take 5 minutes to do one or two things, or both. Talk to God as you would talk to a friend, a spouse, a child, right? It's going to seem very weird at first. It's going to be weird. But over time, it'll become very natural. You have this encounter with God. And or just be quiet for 5 minutes and just listen. Just listen to what God wants to tell you. Also, I'd recommend reading one chapter of the Gospels every day. I think the chapters, you know, average about like 25 verses, so it's not a lot. But just read one chapter of the Gospels every day. Because the same way God wrote those letters to the seven churches in Revelation, he gave us these Gospels to talk to us, directly to us, through the Scriptures. Next, go to confession regularly. Allow those wonderful healing graces to come into you, to say, here are the areas of my life that need healing. Here are the areas of my life I need to improve upon. And finally, allow our Lord to come into your life every week through the Eucharist. Have this beautiful encounter of the Eucharistic Lord coming physically into your body. I believe if you were to put one or all of these practices into place, God would absolutely reveal himself to you the same way he revealed himself to St. John in the book of Revelation. The next teaching is based upon chapters 8 through 11, and these are, in fact, the end times and judgments. When you read these chapters, you're like, wow, this is right out of sci-fi. This is Lucas at his best. But I think people get so caught up in these images that they fall into two mistakes. The first mistake is to really focus upon this very, very modern teaching on tribulation. Nobody had this understanding of tribulation for like 800 years in all of Christendom. So now you have people trying frantically to figure out the exact day that Christ is going to come. One of my friends is an engineer type. We like engineer types, by the way, but he's an engineer type. And he said to me, he goes, if you could tell me, he goes, you're a priest, right? I said, yes. He goes, well, then can you tell me the exact day Jesus was born? I was like, get lost. And I'm like, give me a break, you know? Because he said, if you can tell me the exact day that Jesus was born, I have this formula, and I can give you the exact day Jesus will come again. So I said, well, do you ever read Matthew's gospel when he says you do not know the hour or the time? So why obsess upon the exact time? We know he's coming, right? We know it's going to happen. Well, be prepared. If he comes after lunch today, be prepared. If it's 10 years from now, be prepared. The other side of the equation is not to prepare for the end at all. In my line of work, I deal with death a lot. And obviously when it happens, there's always grief and there's always sorrow. But I find that many times you can tell the person who is dying or has died and their families have never talked about death. They've never prepared for this reality. Spoiler alert, we're all going to die. You know that, right? Okay, so just there's no shock here, people. But think about it. Think about what that's going to be. My patron saint, Saint Jerome, is usually portrayed in art in two different ways. In his more monastic hermit style, or when he was a secretary. When he's in the monastic style, he usually has a skull in his hand, or in the more secretarial role, the skull is on his desk. And that was to remind him of the inevitability of death and the vanity of worldly things. So if you want to see your spiritual life really grow, contemplate your death. Think about that this is going to come for me one day. Now, this contemplation leads us nicely to the last teaching, which I pulled from the chapters 19 through 21. And this is the glory of God and the reign of the faithful. Death does not have to be a scary event. The book of Revelation tells us it is a glorious event. Our second reading told us that there will be no more tears, death, mourning, wailing, or pain. Sounds pretty good to me, right? The book of Revelation also talks about heaven as being a wedding banquet, a bride and a groom coming together, sharing that incredible evening, their marriage, right? This is wonderful. The times in my life when I long for heaven are not when things are going bad. Oh, just take me, God, please get me out of here, right? That's not when I really think about heaven. I do that once in a while, don't get me wrong. But more often than not, it's when things are going really well. when I'm experiencing intense happiness, intense love. And I think to myself, wow, imagine this times infinity forever. So if you want to see your spiritual life grow, try this. Try thinking about the greatest moment of your life and multiplying that by infinity. Multiplying that forever. It's hard at times to do that, but it'll also be hard trying to get the smile off your face. So the book of Revelation does in fact deal with the end of the world and has lots of really bizarre images and symbols. But it also gives us a deeper insight into how to live our spiritual lives right here today. So why not give it a read and see what Jesus Christ wants to reveal to you?